Morning.
Good morning.
This morning's lesson, Old Testament lesson, is from Jeremiah verses chapter 32, verse 1 through 3, and then 6 through 15, and it can be found in your pew Bible on page 736. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of King Zedekiah of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. At that time, the army of the king of Babylon was besieging Jerusalem, and the prophet Jeremiah was confined in the court of the guard that was in the palace of the king of Judah, where King Zedekiah of Judah had confined him. Zedekiah had said, "Why do you prophesy and say, 'Thus says the Lord, I'm going to give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it'?" Jeremiah said, "The word of the Lord came to me, 'Hanamel, son of your uncle Shallum, is going to come to you and say, buy my field that is at Anatoth, for the right of redemption by purchase is yours.' Then my cousin Hanamel came to me in the court of the guard, in accordance with the word of the Lord, and said to me, 'Buy my field that is at Anatoth in the land of Benjamin, for the right of possession and redemption is yours. Buy it for yourself.' Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. And I bought the field at Anatoth from my cousin Hanamel and weighed out the money to him, 17 shekels of silver. I signed the deed, sealed it, got witnesses, and weighed the money on scales. And then I took the sealed deed of purchase containing the terms and condition and the open copy, and I gave the deed of purchase to Barak, son of Neriah, son of Mishiah, in the presence of my cousin Hanamel, in the presence of the witnesses who signed the deed of purchase, and in the presence of all the Judeans who were sitting in the court of the guard. In their presence I charged Barak, saying, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, both this sealed deed of purchase and this open deed, and put them in an earthenware jar in order that they may last for a long time. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall again be bought to this land.'" And then the New Testament reading is Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, and that can be found on page 79 in your pew Bible. The Rich Man and Lazarus. "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us.' He said, 'Then, Father, I beg you to send them to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them.' He said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead.'" This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Well, the point of the Old Testament piece is that the prophet is prophesying that Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. And the people, the walls are going to be broken down and the people are going to be carried off. Nebuchadnezzar is going to take them away. And the prophet is being told by God to go ahead and arrange for the transfer of land and keep those deeds sealed in an earthen jar so that when they're returned, when they come back, they'll be able to show ownership of the property. So that's the main image in that piece. So even as though it's a little bit on the long side, there's a purpose for it. Now, if we look at the New Testament piece today, there's a little context that if we don't take it in context, it can be, because it's a parable that Jesus is providing. The context is, if you look on page 79 in your Pew Bible, and you look at what happens before that rich man and Lazarus, because you have to understand verse 14, because that's who Jesus is addressing this parable. And also a context of why he's using the words that he uses. So let's read that. Verse 14, the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all of this and they ridiculed him. So he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves in the sight of others, but God knows your hearts. For what is prized by human beings is an abomination in the sight of God." Another piece that we get from Paul, this is 1 Timothy 6:10. Love of money is the root of all evil. Money itself is not a bad thing. Money can be used for good purposes. You know, the spreading of wealth, the sharing of, the ability to share the funds that we've been given, the resources we give to people who come in need, whether it's PDF or whether it's through other resources. If we didn't have those gifts and that generosity, we would not be able, in turn, to be generous. So, with that understood, verse 19, that rich man, think about how he's portrayed here. And again, these aren't actual people because this is a parable. All right. So he says, this rich man, and how is this rich man, how do we know this is a rich man? Well, look at how he's described. He's dressed in purple, fine linen, and feasted sumptuously every day. All right. So this guy is well set. He wants for nothing. Matter of fact, he eats sumptuously every day. All right? In the Jewish tradition, according to the prophets, the guidance that they had, and the stories of Abraham, people were supposed to be generous. There was supposed to be a generosity. They were supposed to be humble. They were supposed to be hospitable. If there were people that they saw, they're supposed to be almsgiving. They're supposed to give alms to the poor. They're supposed to, when they see people who are in need, they're supposed to do something for them, to provide them with something. Well, let's look at how this unfolds. And at his gate, I mean, he wouldn't have to go far to help this gentleman, lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. So the context is, here is this rich man who has more than enough to share with this man who's right outside his gate. We don't know the rich man's name. But Jesus values the poor man in us so that we know his name. What's his name? Lazarus. Now, this is not the Lazarus that Jesus raises from the dead, but it's a man named Lazarus. Well, the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. It's the way of the world. We die. The rich man died and was buried. The next verse, 23, in Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away, and who was there by his side? Lazarus. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony and flames." Imagine the hubris of this rich man. And Jesus is using this as an example for those Pharisees and Sadducees who value money and power over everything, even the requirement that's given to them by the prophets to be hospitable, to care for, to give alms for, to be compassionate towards people that have less than them. The prophets told him to do this. Jesus tells him to do this. Abraham says, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good, and Lazarus in like manner evil. And now he is being comforted, and you are in agony." Now, if that's not a stick in a shoulder or a face of the Pharisees, they're missing it. And they probably would. But the point here is that those who much is given, much will be expected. That as we are given, so shall we distribute to other people. You know, so you reap, so you sow. As you reap, you sow. Well, think about this as he comes, because Lazarus says, or rather, the rich man says, "I beg you to send Lazarus to my father's house." This guy, hubris, does know, you know, he is conceited beyond all regard, because he says, you know, entitled even maybe, "Send Lazarus to my father's house. I have five brothers, that he may warn them so that they won't come." Even after Abraham said that there's this chasm that separates between those that are in the presence of God, in this case, in the bosom of Abraham, and those that have been placed in eternal, someplace other than where God is. Abraham replied, "They had Moses and the prophets, and they should listen to them." He said, "No, but if somebody from the dead would go to them," this Jesus is actually alluding to, you know, Jesus is going to, they didn't listen to Jesus, and when he comes back after 3 days in the tomb, he comes back and a lot of people listen then. The Holy Spirit and the power that goes with that. But he says, "No, Father, if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." What are the main points? Anybody in here without sin? Anybody in here without sin? Just see if you were still awake and with me. I like having Bob here, because he doesn't mind if I come to him. The point is, there are people each and every day who put more focus and more attention on the wealthy things, the things of material. And pursuit of that is not a bad thing, because there are many people who have much who give much. If they didn't have much, they couldn't give much. If they didn't have much, they couldn't give much. And those who receive from the wealth that they give would not be able to receive. So the whole piece is, we're not denigrating or diminishing those that have been blessed with either property or wealth. You know, that gentleman that was playing the fiddle last night. Boy, has he been blessed. I don't know if he's wealthy, but man, he can make a fiddle stand up and tweet like five or six of the birds. And if you were there, you know what I'm talking about. And if you weren't, you need to find out when that guy's going to be playing next and listen to him. Love of money causes us to have a little g, God. And that little g, God, becomes our possessions, becomes money, and the pursuit thereof. And we forget that everything that we have, the gifts, the talents, the blessings, they're given to us by the same God. And why? They're given to us by God so that we might share them. Those that have gifts and talents, I mean, running a farm and being able to make that work successfully, hallelujah. Well, guess who benefits from that? Each and every one of us that picks up a melon that's ripe and fresh and sweet. Now, if there weren't farmers that knew how to do that, who had the land, well, then we wouldn't have those melons. Praise God for the farmers. Praise God for those who know how to handle money. People that work in banks. They help people manage money and resources. Were it not so, think about that young man who's, where's the young man who's buying his first house? Where's he going to go to get the funds to purchase that house? A bank. People make money so that then they can use it. It's those that hoard it like misers and sit there and polish it and count it. They're the ones that Jesus is talking about these Pharisees who have this love of money. And they don't see the person that they pass every day outside their gate. And all it would take would be a moment of compassion. A thought. Because as we reap, we'll sow. Are you going to sow faith and joy and hope and love? Or are you going to sow greed? And I want this. Jesus is telling those Pharisees that there is judgment. It's inescapable for rich or for poor. Where you spend eternity is the most important thing. And where you're going to spend eternity is where you have decided, where you have put your heart. Do you have a big G, Jesus Christ, God and the Father and the Holy Spirit? Or do you have a little g, money and property? And where is your heart focused? And where is your treasure? I want to be in the same place that Lazarus is and the bosom of Abraham. So as we are able, so let us be generous with our gifts. And then we don't have to worry about being in the other place and where it might be called or what might be happening there. Because if we're with Jesus, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit for eternity, it doesn't get any better. Shalom.